God's word today, we will turn to Revelation chapter 22, verses 12 to 15. Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. Amen. God is the beginning and the end. God is the beginning and the end. God is the beginning and the end. Therefore, through him, there is a beginning and there is an end. And when we say God is the beginning and the end, it doesn't mean he has a beginning and end. It means he has no beginning nor end, but through him, there is a beginning and end. And therefore, there is a beginning to creation and end to creation. So our faith is to believe in creationism, the creation of God, and we believe also in the end of the world. So when we speak of the end of the world, it's a very dangerous topic, and to many it sounds crazy. But if we believe in creation and we believe in his return, then we also need to believe in the end of the world. So you believe in creation, the end of the world, and that you are a soul. So faith life is that while your soul is in the flesh, as he will reward and give to each what they have done, while in the flesh, we work. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 25, to describe this, it says, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of which God has given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. So it describes this further, that by the dispensation of his grace, he will fulfill his will, and as we know this, we live this faith life. So for the time of my soul, when we say time of my flesh, we may think of age or the life we live in this flesh. But as we know that we have a soul inside this flesh, it is a spiritual being, and we question, is there time of the soul? But there is a time for the soul, and while in the flesh, it is the only opportunity we have to live for our soul. For when our flesh disappears, we cannot work for the soul. So it is only while we are spiritual beings that we can be treated as such and live as one. So the time for our soul is very important. And the Bible speaks of the dispensation of God. And the dispensation is regarding time. And when we speak of the dispensation of God, easily put, it is the time schedule, the timetable of God. It is his agenda. So God is spirit and he is eternal, but as God has no beginning nor end, knowing this, for he created the beginning and end, there is a time schedule and agenda that he proceeds with. In Genesis chapter 1, it speaks of the beginning, and this is the beginning of all creation, and that's when all things were made. And in John chapter 1, the beginning here is in eternity, in eternal time. So in this world, time is measured, but it's not referring to this time, but eternal time in eternity. And second, for the work of creation, when God said, he said, let there be light, and there was light. And why did he create light? it's so that we can know the concept of time. And then that was in verse 3. And when we read on in verse 14, it says, and God said, let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years. And that is why he created the light, so that we can have a sense of time. And third, God had a dispensation, the schedule, the timetable of God. And this is God's effort to let us know what time is. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 8 to 10. So Ephesians chapter 1, 8 to 10. Is that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reached their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. So regarding time is what we're talking about. So when we read this again, it says, that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure. So the mystery of his will is the mystery of God, and he made it known to us. So made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment. So all this had already been determined and set. And when the time comes, when the schedule comes for that, he revealed and proceeded with his dispensation to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth. So in heaven, referring to angels, and on earth, the spiritual beings that come from Adam, all mankind, that they're brought together under Christ. So do you understand? Amen? And this is a very important matter. So God created Adam, and to this man created from the dust of the ground, he breathed the breath of life and it became a living being. But this spiritual being does not have a concept of time, in that though it has a beginning, it does not have an end, for it is a spiritual being. So when Adam was in the Garden of Eden, he felt the temptation of eating the fruit, for his wife Eve was deceived. And as they disobeyed, they were banished from the Garden of Eden. And there was a cherubim and a flaming sword guarding the garden, so they could not re-enter and could not hear the voice of God, and they were cut off from him, and therefore not knowing sense of time. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9:12, it describes, for a man also does not know his time. That through Adam, all mankind lost their concept of time, does not know his time. Moreover, no one knows when their hour will come. So when we ask ourselves what time is it, we respond by looking at a clock. But this time is important. But what men became blind to was the time of God, his schedule. So therefore, destruction befell them, and the end was just waiting for them. Because they were unaware, due to their unawareness, and a destruction befell them, and this became the misery of mankind due to the sin of Adam. That in their unprepared state, that destruction befell them. And as all mankind came from Adam and inherited the sin, they were unable to escape such destruction, such fate. And we see in the history, the story of Pharaoh, that the Israelites were enslaved in Egypt, and in order to liberate them, God sent Moses, and he went to Pharaoh to tell him to let my people go. So Pharaoh took this very lightly, for Moses came and declared to let his people go, but he wouldn't let go so easily the people who were slaves for over 400 years. And because of that, God instructed Moses to inflict plague upon plague, in which they experienced a total of 10 plagues. But Pharaoh, he didn't yield at all initially. And so in Jeremiah chapter 46:17, it mentions that the reason why Pharaoh was destroyed was because he lost the timing, that he missed his opportunity. So he lost his chance to repent and turn back. So all Moses wanted was to bring his people out. But because Pharaoh, if he initially just surrendered, then Moses would have just brought the people out. But because Pharaoh did not surrender, he lost the chance that he was given. It says he has missed his opportunity. And because he was hardened in heart, he lost his chance. And therefore, along with his nation, was destroyed because they missed the opportunity. They missed the chance. So the people were liberated on the Passover night, and that was the night that death passed over the houses of those with the blood of the lamb on their doorposts. And their firstborn, whether of animals or humans, were spared if they had the blood. And this, the angel that brings death passed over such houses. And this is the Passover night. And then there were the feasts of Jehovah that they were instructed to keep. And it says he made the moon to mark the seasons, and the sun knows when to go down. So God set the time for observing, for celebrating the feasts throughout the year. So there was a schedule, and according to that schedule, there were these feasts. And these were the laws and decrees, the commandments that they were given to the Israelites to keep. But initially they kept these, but as time passed, they started skipping some and didn't keep others, and were doing it half-heartedly, and therefore they were warned and rebuked through the prophets, and were told that God was let down and disappointed in them, that even the stork in the sky knows her appointed seasons, that even the birds keep the commands and know their time. So there are these types of seasonal birds that are very small, but they migrate together, and according to the seasons, they move from one place to another. So even such small birds know the seasons and time and the chance given, and they migrate accordingly. But the Israelites, they became so unaware of the time, of the chance, and though they were liberated overnight, they did not keep these commands. And this is described in Jeremiah chapter 8:7. It says, even the stork in the sky knows her appointed seasons, and the dove, the swift, and the thrush observe the time of their migration, but my people do not know the requirements of the Lord. And as a result of going astray, whenever they engaged in battles, they lost. So in an unprepared state, they would be attacked and would therefore lose. It says, let a cry be heard from their houses when you suddenly bring invaders against them. So it was at this time that the prophets were sent, and they warned them to seek the Lord while he may be found, call on him while he is near. So they were to seek the Lord Jehovah and call upon him while he is near. For all people, there is a time and opportunity and chance given. So to all, there is a time and there is a chance. The reason God gave to all this time and chance is so that they're given this opportunity to draw near him and go back to him. And there was a prophet who, and it says, "Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your hearts, with fasting and weeping and mourning." And no matter how difficult, with weeping and mourning and fasting, return back to God. So this was the role of the prophets, to give them such warning and message, to not fall into despair or give up, and for them to turn back and return to him. So the message of the prophets was to turn back and return. To return. To who? To return to Jehovah. So the prophets declared this, to return back. But there's another place in the Bible which is says the kingdom of heaven is near to return. So in another version, it says the kingdom of heaven is at hand, meaning it's right there. And all you have to do is quickly turn around to not be destroyed and live. Then in the desert, there was baptism given by John the Baptist. And it was for sinners. So it was a baptism of repentance for sinners. And so those who are sinners, if they have the desire to return back to Jehovah, they would go to get baptism there. But there were many who had no such heart or desire, but went because they heard that there is a prophet who came. They had waited for a prophet for so long. So such men, like the Pharisees and Sadducees, came to receive this baptism. And so what did John say? He said, "You brood of vipers. You brood of vipers." They were not to receive this baptism. It says, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath, that he will soon come." So who warned you to flee from the coming wrath, meaning the wrath of God, that he will soon come, that it is at hand, and they must know what era they live, that this is the end of times. The end is near, it says the axe is already at the root of the trees. So the axe is already at the root of the trees. So it may seem like the tree is still alive and the leaves are still there, but if the axe cuts the roots, then this is just a matter of time for it to wither and die. And this marked the end, for the kingdom of heaven has come and this is the end. So if they do not produce fruit of repentance, then they would be gathered and thrown into the fire, meaning the hell fire. And we do not know if they knew or recognized the warning by John the Baptist or recognized the end was near. Perhaps there were some who did, and there were others who had no clue. And this was the time Jesus Christ appeared. And he was baptized by John, and but his public ministry started according to God's schedule, according to the time that was set for him to start. And when was that? it was when he heard that John the Baptist was captured. So John the Baptist was the last prophet, and once that role was completed was when the true kingdom of heaven came. And that is why he said the kingdom of heaven has come near, and to repent and turn back. So when John the Baptist said the kingdom of heaven has come near, it was referring to the one who comes behind him. But when Jesus said it, he was referring to himself, that I have come, the kingdom of heaven has come. So according to God's schedule and dispensation is when he started his public life, his public ministry. So just like in the theaters, they begin with the intro, like the intro music, to get you prepared for the actual performance. So all the stuff is happening before to get you excited for the performance. And when it, so that was just, that was like the prophets, the role of the prophets. But when it starts, the curtains open and the actors, they come out. So the prophets were like the music and other things to prepare for the actual performance. And finally, when the curtains open, the kingdom of heaven has come. Jesus Christ has come. And he appeared before the temple. And what did he say? He said, destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days. So no longer would there be intro music or prophets, no anything like that. So destroy the temple, meaning to tear the veil. So all of this has meaning. So do not lose any of it and keep it in mind so you can put the pieces together and visualize the full picture. So just like at the theaters, you see the performance, just like that, your spirit has to open its eyes to see. So Jesus said to destroy the temple, meaning what? So meaning tear the veil. So this was a very, very thick curtain. And what did he say to destroy? It was to destroy the law and prophets. Destroy the era of the law and prophets. So put an end to such era. So it was through eras that God revealed himself, and through logos we learn of this. From the first Adam to Noah, it was the era of deity consciousness. From Noah to Moses is the era of sacrifice. Then from Moses to the death of John the Baptist is the era of the law. And from Jesus Christ to his second coming is the era of grace. So Jesus said to destroy the temple, meaning no longer is it the era of the law or of the prophets, but he has come. And now the era of grace has begun. Do you understand that this marked the end to the era of the law and beginning to the era of grace? So let new wine and new wineskins come to pour new wine into new wineskin. All must be totally new, both the wine and the wineskins, or else the skins will burst. That totally it must be new. So who is he to say such thing? As he had a day of birth and also end, and he referred to himself as the Son of Man, meaning like man, he has a day of birth and death, and into such time he came, and with such timetable he came. But in Proverbs chapter 8:22, the Lord brought me forth as the first of his works. Before his deeds of old, I was formed long ages ago, at the very beginning when the world came to be. When there were no watery depths, I was given birth. When there were no springs overflowing with water, before the mountains were settled in place, before the hills, I was given birth. Before he made the world or its fields or any of the dust of the earth, I was there when he set the heavens in place, when he marked out the horizon on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above and fixed securely the fountains of the deep, when he gave the sea its boundary so the waters would not overstep his command, and when he marked out the foundations of the earth. Then I was constantly at his side. I was filled with delight day after day, rejoicing always in his presence. So then I was beside him as a master craftsman. In some versions, it says that before creation, before all things, whether visible or invisible, even before time began, he was. Even before time, he was. He was already there when all things were being created. That he was the craftsman at his side. I was filled with delight day after day, rejoicing always in his presence as the craftsman. That is the creator, meaning he was there before creation and at the end, at the time of creation, and he came. So Jesus, when he appeared, was the end of times, is when the axe is already at the root of the trees. So now time is ticking and not much time is remaining for the end of the world. And so this is called the end times. So the people saw him be born and grow up, coming from Mary. So they could not believe him. And he said, your ancestor Abraham did not do this to me. And they were like, you are not yet 50 years old and you have seen Abraham. And Jesus said, before Abraham was born, I am. Not I was, but before Abraham was born, I am. So he was before time and before creation. Before creation, time was created through Jesus Christ, and for Jesus Christ, and through Jesus Christ. So for Jesus Christ and through him, this was all created. So all things that were created for Jesus, now through Jesus Christ, it will come to an end. And that is why it emphasizes the dispensation of God, his time schedule. So the Israelites regarded Abraham as very great, and Jesus was only around 30 years old. And he was saying he was before Abraham. Before Abraham was born, I am. And this led them hating him even more. But Jesus also rebuked them, saying, the Pharisees and Sadducees came to Jesus and tested him by asking him to show them a sign from heaven. And he replied, when evening comes, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, today it will be stormy, for the sky is red and overcast. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation looks for a sign. So you look for signs, but you cannot escape from, you cannot interpret the signs of the times, meaning the era in which the kingdom of heaven has come, where the creator who created all things, who created time, has come to mark the end of all. And why could they not recognize this? And he also continued to say, this generation does not recognize me, and they will abandon me and leave me, and I will suffer. And so this prophecy was about his death and resurrection. And after he is handed over to death, he will die and resurrect. And after 3 days, he will return to the Father. And when the time comes, he will return. So his death marked the end of his suffering, but there will be a time he will come back. And it's described as the day of the Lord, the day of the Son of Man is revealed. But the day he will come back is recorded in Luke chapter 17, that Jesus Christ will return. So we don't say the Son of God will return, but rather the Son of Man will return, meaning though Jesus Christ came as man, he is in essence God. So the Son of God highlights that he is in essence God, but Son of Man highlights the fact that he came as man, though he is God, because he had a schedule to follow in the flesh. And this is when he's called the Son of Man. It highlights that aspect. So the Son of Man died and the Son of Man resurrected. And the one who will come back is the Son of Man. And when he comes back, will it be with the same form that the disciples saw? So after Jesus resurrected, do you think the disciples recognized him? Maybe if they're so filled with grace, they can recognize him. So just as before the summer retreat, you're all dark, and then after you all come back so bright. Or before Zoe, you're all downcast, but after Zoe, it's like the sun is shining bright on your face. You're just glowing. So like that, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he bore the sins of all mankind. But after his death, no longer all these sins on his body. So after resurrection, he must have been so filled with light and glowing and so bright and radiant. And then Luke chapter 17, 26 to 30. Luke 17, 26. Just as it was in the days of Noah, so also will it be in the days of the Son of Man. People were eating, drinking, marrying, and being given in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. Then the flood came and destroyed them all. It was the same in the days of Lot. People were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. But the day Lot left Sodom, fire and sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. It will be just like this on the day the Son of Man is revealed. So Jesus Christ, the appearance of the Son of Man. Say amen if you believe in his return. And when he returns, in what image will he return with? When Jesus returns, some say that there will be darkness with thunder and lightning. And you may think that as well. But it's not such signs that we're looking for. But when Jesus Christ returns, no one will expect it. It may be today or tomorrow, just a normal day in life. So it says people were eating, drinking, marrying, and being given in marriage. They were buying and selling, planting and building. So it's just a normal day in life. And he will return, and unexpectedly. So, but then we see before the flood, when Noah's family built the ark, they entered it. Do you think the people in the world knew of this? Perhaps some in the neighborhood in close proximity recognized Noah and his family entered the ark, and they were just doing something. But the moment he entered, rain fell and covered the whole earth, and flood came and destroyed them all. Everything that breathed through its nostrils were destroyed, all wiped out. So when the Son of Man comes, it's not with an atomic bomb or earthquake or some catastrophe. It's just people living a normal day, going on and about. And when people are doing that, unexpectedly, it marks the beginning of his return, and he will return. So while we may be unaware, the time schedule of God is proceeding and advancing. So the time schedule of Jesus Christ is continuing. So after he said this, so even when he was handed over to death, he did not avoid it or try to stop it, but rather he silently went to the cross And when he died, he said, "It is finished." Meaning, now mark the end of the time schedule of the Son of Man. So the time of the Son of Man has come, is marked as the end. So God came as man in the form of man. He came with the time schedule of God. And the moment he said it is finished is when it marked the beginning of the end. And why did he die? Because there was a plan for him to resurrect and be raised back to life. As it says in John chapter 10, 18, "No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." So he used his authority to die and to be raised back to life. For there was a plan to be raised back to life is when he died, and all that's left is his, was his resurrection. And that's why he said it is finished. And with his death, he condemned the devil who led men astray and tempted them to sin, leading them to hell. And so the devil was condemned, and he destroyed the ruler of death, the devil. So therefore, the devil not only will be condemned and judged, but his plans were also destroyed. Also, through his death, all mankind were redeemed. They were freed from the price of sin and death. And the blood that he shed, where did he sprinkle it? When Jesus shed his blood, why did he shed it? In the Old Testament, when they gave sacrifice, the blood was sprinkled through the temple and on all the items in the most holy place. It was sprinkled onto the items that were used for the service of God, all things that were to be separate, specifically for serving him. And also on the high priest, the blood was sprinkled. But when Jesus shed his blood, it was sprinkled to the souls of all men. So you have to pay attention. We are in the end of God's time schedule. So why I'm preaching on this message, next month, soon is dedication, and also it's for spiritual armor. So what is the armor we put on? We must know the time schedule of God, the time this universe is in, and the time of your soul. And for this, I'm preaching the word. So when Jesus Christ died, he sprinkled his blood into souls. So I am a soul. Whoever acknowledges that can receive this blood. Animals cannot, as they do not have souls. And there are some theologians who say even in heaven there are your pets and animals. So they think then you have to baptize your animals as well, your pets as well. But he sprinkled his blood into souls. So when his blood is sprinkled into the soul, what did I mention before? Pour new wine into new wineskins. So new wine into new wineskins. So the blood of Jesus was sprinkled. Do you think his blood is the new wine or the new wineskins? You don't know? In Acts, it describes when they receive the Holy Spirit that they seem drunk on wine. So you must be a new wineskin to receive the new wine. So the new wineskin is I the soul sprinkled by his blood. The soul that is cleansed by his blood, so that when we are cleansed, we can receive the Holy Spirit. That to such cleansed soul, the Holy Spirit enters, and that marks the beginning of the era of grace. Era of grace. That even at the time of Jesus, it wasn't the era of grace yet. It was still in the era of the law. But when he died, and when he sprinkled his blood
to the new wineskins, it marks the beginning of the era of grace. So when the new wine sprinkled into new wineskin, that's when the era of grace began. So now we are in the era of grace. Behold, this is the era of grace and salvation. And anyone who believes he is a soul and sinner from any line or nation can receive. Amen. The new wineskin can receive the new wine. And so we are living in this era of grace. And so it's such a blessed era. And this was all done by grace. In the Old Testament, there were so many commandments and only the select people, the priests who were appointed, and from the Levite tribe and were appointed. But now, in this era of grace, whoever and wherever you are, all souls can receive the Holy Spirit, can be cleansed by the blood of Jesus, and we can receive the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit has come, whom my Lord has sent has come. The Holy Spirit has come. Hallelujah. So people might think this is crazy. Yes, you must be called this, for you're drunk on the new wine. So if you've never been called crazy, raise your hand. If you've never heard that, then leave. You have no qualification to follow Jesus or to receive the Holy Spirit. For we are drunk on new wine, for we are abnormal. We are not living a normal time schedule of the world. It's not a normal schedule, but it is the schedule of God. So the schedule is just so tight. It's not only the Lord's Day, but we go to praise evangelism, all the various age and regional group meetings, and the Friday evening service and locals, and finally the Lord's Day. So why do we do all this? It's because the end of the era of grace is coming. And the night is deep. So when we close our eyes and open it up again, a new day has come and the return of our Lord is near. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 3:9. We have to read this verse to fully understand and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. So to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. So the mystery kept hidden in God, what is that? So the mystery kept hidden in God, it is Yeshua Christ, Yeshua, the Son of God, the Son of Man. So in eternity, this is the mystery kept hidden, and God in the beginning, and the dispensation of Jesus Christ, the time schedule, the agenda of Jesus Christ. Say amen if you believe in his resurrection. Say amen if you believe he ascended to heaven, is now seated on the throne. And what comes next? What comes after? He will come back with the authority of the king. Say amen if you believe. And why will he come? Why will he come? To do what? To judge the living from the dead. Revelation 14:15 says, take your sickle and reap, because the time to reap has come. Take your sickle and reap, because the time to reap has come, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. So it is time to reap, for the harvest is ripe, and this time has come. And it is the reality in the eyes of God, that in the eyes of God, the time has already come to take your sickle and reap, for it's harvest time. Perhaps Paul, one of them, but the Lord, he has not returned yet. so that he can take one more soul. If he doesn't, all the rest will be burned in hellfire. And it's for one more soul to repent and turn back to him. And that is why he is waiting. Amen. And that is called the dispensation of the fullness of time. Maybe there's 1 second left to the schedule of God, and time is ticking, and this time we are living in is called the era of grace, and the return of our Lord Jesus Christ is near. So say amen if you believe he will come at any moment. So how you distinguish if you have faith or not is that one who has faith knows the will of God and believes in the dispensation of the fullness of time. So you say you know the will of God and memorize the rest, then you do well on the test. But if you are not aware of the dispensation of God and you're not interested in the return of his return and know that his return is near, then it's the end. It's already over for you. So say amen if you believe he will return. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 15. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. So this is regarding the return of the Lord. Say amen if you believe that. And those who believe this, after that, we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. So this is referring to the rapture in the air. So someone like Paul died and he is in paradise. But those who are still alive and are left and who live like Paul and participate in his suffering and his death of Christ, such people will be lifted up into the air and meet the Lord in the air and participate in the banquet in the air, which is called the first resurrection. So if we are lifted into the air, there is the feast, and it will take place in the air. And during that time, for those who are left here on earth, there will be very difficult hardship and great tribulation that will be hard to overcome. Worse than atomic bombs. So in the air, there will be a banquet and feast, but on earth, there will be tribulation and so this is where the divide happens, the separation happens, and such people who are left here on earth through the tribulation, they will lose their faith and confess they do not have faith and will be destined for hell, and there will be the era of the millennium. And so this was a lot of information. So the time we live in now, we call the end times, the end of ages. And the signs of the end times, there will be pestilences and earthquakes. And the things happening right now are all signs of the end times. The world is just getting worse and worse. And according to the Bible, it is not strange, and it is according to the schedule of God. And we experience this right in front of our eyes, and this is the era in which we live in. And it'll just get worse. There's pollution in. So have you ever seen how polluted the oceans have become? So with the atmosphere, you can't see as much, it's not as noticeable. But the oceans are, the pollution there is just so visible. It's filled with all sorts of garbage and you see them floating in the sea. So the things that we toss away in the garbage can, they all end up in the sea. All the plastics and debris they have created an island called the Great Pacific Garbage Patch that's even bigger than Korea. And that's how much garbage has accumulated. And that is why I'm thinking of not eating fish anymore. Before, I didn't really think of it, but now I see how polluted the water has become, how all this waste is in the water. The fish eat the waste, and it's just the cycle of waste. And it's just this debris is floating in the water, and these are the fish we eat. So no matter how much you try to take care of your health, you realize you can't, as it's just getting worse. And just there are just so many signs that mark the end of times, and it's just so serious and devastating. When I saw the garbage floating there, I was just so disappointed. And in Korea, there were clothes that were provided by the U.S. And then also, we see there was this program called "Do You Know Where Your Clothes Is Ending Up?" So we see so much fabric and clothing waste. There is just piles and piles of unworn clothing, and even out of this clothing and fabric, approximately 50% are made from synthetic fibers, and when they're burnt, they emit toxic fumes into the atmosphere. And so it's just the cycle of pollution and waste in the oceans, in the air. There's just no uncontaminated thing. So we see there is not much time remaining for the end, and it is a very dire situation. So there is a crazy man saying we have to go to Mars, but this world is destined to be burnt in hellfire, to become hell. And while we see the pollution in the world, but also the souls who are contaminated by sin are destined for the fires of hell, be burnt in the garbage incinerator. But such souls must escape from this universe. And this time is coming near, it is so close. So while all this is happening, how will the world end? What's the schedule like? The Antichrist will appear, and there will be efforts for a one world government, one religion. And in Revelation chapter 13, it describes the beast will appear, and then Satan will give it his authority and wear the crown, and to the beast, which is the Antichrist. So to the dragon, so those who do not worship the beast, the dragon, will be put to death. And those who do not have the mark of the beast will not be able to buy or sell anything, and eventually will starve. This is written in the Bible. And do you believe all this will happen? So everything written in the past, have just like how that those have been fulfilled, all this will be fulfilled, and we don't have much time remaining. So when the Antichrist appears, the world will be united as one, and there will be one ruler.
governing all. And initially I did not know this was happening before, but I came across this on the internet that in Dubai, which is part of the Arab Emirates, there was a conference that took place, and it was called the World Government Summit. So the World Government Summit, it's a conference and gathering of all the thought leaders across the globe, politicians and influential figures who gather there, and it is people from all nations people from everywhere. And what was the topic? So this one, it occurred in March of this year, and the topic was, are we ready for a new world order? So are we ready for a new world order? So are you ready for a new world order, new government? Are you ready for that? So, new world order, are you ready to accept that? And that was what the topic was. So the Arabs were wearing their clothing and their cloaks, attire, and all these people that were there, there were very intelligent people. No one who is hallelujah. No one like that. So it's just all these worldly, secular people who look very successful in this world who gathered here. And their topic was to make one world government, one world, and have one ruler and king. And the stumbling block for this endeavor is religion. And I thought that, and also, how can Muslims, Jews, and Christians become one? And I thought this was impossible, but this topic was to create a new religion, Abraham's religion. So the Jews, the Muslims, the Christians all came from Abraham. So you go back to the common ancestors, so they propose that this new religion be made. And they all applauded, and even the Pope was there, applauded and consented. And for this, the emergence of this Abraham's religion. And after seeing this, I was just so upset that I cried. Of course, I will not believe in this. But there will be one government, and this whole world will be under one religion. And if one does not believe, they will be put to death. This conference with such an agenda, they proposed to be fulfilled by 2030. These intelligent and educated people are for this. 2030 is almost approaching. It's almost here. So when will the Lord return? He will come at any moment while we are living our normal day. Even before the Antichrist comes, the Lord will return. Do you believe that? We learned this in Logos. Only those who live for the kingdom of Jesus Christ, who live for their souls, who live for the gospel, who use their youth and energy and time for this, will be taken up. And afterward is when the Antichrist kingdom will reign, and this is left in the schedule of God. So 2030,
I believe this agenda will occur. So the Christians, the Jews, all these religious figures, they gather here and have discussions and have the summit to proceed with the agenda. For before that is when the Lord will return. So anytime, anywhere, he can come. So do you understand how serious this is? That he may even come this very night, and what will you be found doing? That night, I decided, after I heard this, I was like, wow, I must live a life of a martyr. And I always used to pray that I'm so impatient and I fear hell so much that I cannot be martyred, that I'm not fit for that. So I pray, perhaps like Enoch, I can just be taken up. And I used to pray this way, but I don't know if it'll be taken up like Enoch. But the time is coming near, and how can you believe in Abraham's religion? If you believe in Abraham's religion, then you have to deny Jesus Christ coming in the flesh and deny his resurrection. So how can you convert to such religion? Rather, you die for your faith. You cannot deny his blood. So although I'm not fit for martyrdom, I pray I can become a martyr should the situation arise. Time is almost up. All of you have to be awake. We don't have much time left. You wake up and it seems like a normal day. And the Bible says this. But because the Bible tells us this, and through the Holy Spirit, we are warned. And this is a burden to us. And while we are in the flesh, while my soul is in the flesh, is the opportunity we have to live for it. The moment the soul leaves the flesh, when Jesus Christ returns, he will call the names and say, "Rise." And only those who have the seal on their foreheads of Jesus will rise. Hallelujah. So this day, not today, but on a day called this day, we live. Tomorrow is not our own. We do not worry about tomorrow. We do not know if it'll come. But each day, for this day, we live. We pray. So for this day, let me live for my soul. So that the time that we are given to live for the soul, we do not know how much time is remaining. But let us not waste even a second, and let us live for our soul. Let us live for the time of our soul. Let us pray.